This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's been a few weeks since the details of Budget 2019 were announced, and one segment that really stood out was the announcement of a digital tax on all imported online services. So basically things like your Spotify, Netflix, Steam, even advertising and shopping services that serve the local e-commerce ecosystem will be taxed in the future. This announcement means that Malaysia is now officially only the second country in Southeast Asia, the other being Singapore, to levy a service tax on imported online services. Here's Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng briefly announcing the decision to tax these players in his Budget 2019 speech.
Bagi perkhidmatan atas talian yang diimport oleh pengguna online store, online service, penyedia perkhidmatan asing akan dikenakan berdaftar dengan custom mengenakan dan merimit cukai perkhidmatan yang berkaitan berkuat kuasa mulai 1 Januari 2020. Contoh perkhidmatan ini termasuk perisian, muzik, video atau sebarang pengiklanan digital. Langkah pencukaian ini akan mengimbangkan persaingan antara peruncit kedai dan kedai atas talian, terutamanya kedai atas talian yang dimiliki oleh syarikat luar negeri.
Now, details are scarce and few and far in between, so obviously there's been some confusion regarding this new system. Here's what we know for sure so far. The tax will go into full effect on January 1st, 2020, but the implementation of the tax itself works as a two-pronged approach. The foundation of the tax will start to take place starting next year, with more details flowing in as the system takes shape. The implementation of the tax itself basically means that all foreign companies serving Malaysian online consumers will need to register themselves with the Malaysian Customs Department to continue providing their services here, and all these services will be taxed accordingly. This should effectively, and according to Finance Minister himself, help to level the local e-commerce playing field by giving local players and the ones who don't have a physical presence here an equal platform. Now, the big question on everyone's mind is this tax a good thing? Will we need to pay extra for our online services? Like, is Spotify Premium going to cost more? And will this really help online players prosper? Or is this just going to stifle innovation by making it difficult for big companies to offer their services here? We will discuss all these things on today's Five Fortune, and we'll also have PricewaterhouseCoopers Tax Executive Director Keegan Ong lending his expertise to the conversation to give us a clearer understanding of what exactly we can expect from our new digital tax in 2020.
Number one.
So Malaysia has actually introduced two approaches. One is withholding tax. The other one is actually service tax. The government has expanded the definitions of royalty back in 2017 to cover payments for the use of software, as well as some the rights to receive voice or images to in addressing the digital economy. I think to give a very brief understanding about withholding taxes, I think we need to bear in mind that withholding tax is the tax of the foreign companies. So what happened is the Malaysian companies or payers are merely just an agent of the government to withhold a portion of the income and remit to IRB as withholding tax. So in my view, I think withholding tax is the most efficient and straightforward way of tax collection, given that, I mean, tax is collected upon payment based on percentage of the payment made, unlike income tax that is normally due after the financial year or the tax year. However, I think the downside of this mechanism is always Malaysian's businesses are generally the one that bearing the withholding tax, given that in most situations, Malaysian companies are not, or they do not have the bargaining power when dealing with this tax giant. So the next point that I'm going to talk about is on service tax, two stages. First is it will be a self-charge service tax by Malaysian service tax registrant that will take effect from 1st Jan 2019. So what does that mean is, a service tax registrant in Malaysia, when they acquire services from foreign corporation, they will need to charge a service tax of 6%. Then the next stage would be effective from 1st Jan 2020, whereby it requires the foreign companies to register themselves in Malaysia in order for them to charge service tax. So the good thing about this proposal is it actually puts the domestic and the foreign players on the same level of playing field. given that if you're acquiring the same service at this moment, it could be more expensive if you buy from local, because the local players would need to charge service tax. However, I think we are still not taxing the right person, because the service tax is ultimately borne by the end consumer, which is not a tax on the income or profit.
Number two.
I think there's been some misunderstanding when it comes to this new digital service tax. A lot of consumers are worried that they'll be taxed for using online services like Netflix or even downloading software like Microsoft Office 365. Now, in essence, this isn't true. The tax itself will be levied on the service providers or the companies that are housed outside Malaysia but operate inside our borders, meaning the onus is on them to pay and absorb the fee. So, essentially, no, the consumers aren't being charged to use these services any more than they already are. That's the simple explanation. It might get complicated in practice when, let's say, an online music streaming service decides to hike their monthly subscription fees to make up for revenue lost to tax, basically passing the buck to the consumer. Will it happen? Not likely, but it could, and that's something that we might need to brace ourselves for. It is important to remember that this is financially a largely untapped segment for us. According to Customs Department Director General Dato' Sri Subramaniam Tolosi via iMoney, leveraging and taxing on the digital economy could easily translate to several billion ringgit in revenue for the country. Think of it this way. The rise of e-commerce and the mass accessibility of the internet has made it easy for anyone sitting anywhere in the world to do business without borders. Basically, if anyone is willing to ship their goods to you or virtually sell you their services, all transactions can be done online without the merchant ever having to step foot in the country they are selling to, right? Meaning, they don't even have to know where Malaysia is on the map, but they are still earning a revenue and making profits from consumers here in Malaysia. That's the beauty of online commerce, but it also means that the seller isn't paying a fee for selling in this country. They would pay taxes to the country that they are physically in. Like, for instance, let's say they have offices in the US, then they are being taxed by the US government, but they are basically operating in Malaysia for free. Now, if you think that isn't a big deal, because why should they have to pay taxes when they aren't physically here in Malaysia? Well, keep in mind that local merchants are paying taxes to the government to do business online here. And Malaysia isn't the only country in the world to announce a digital tax, which means that Malaysian e-commerce players might have to start paying taxes to other countries if they want to do business there as well, which effectively brings us to taxing the digital economy might be our only way of creating a fair and equal environment at this point, but whether or not that's actually going to encourage the growth of the local online service providers is something we'll have to keep an eye on. We will talk more about the digital service tax and get into the nitty-gritty of its mechanics with Keegan Ong, PricewaterhouseCoopers Tax Executive Director, right after some messages. BFM 89.9.
Best for money. BFM 89.9.
You're still tuned in to Five for Fortune, and today's show is all about the digital service tax that was announced by Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng during his Budget 2019 speech. Malaysia is now officially the second country in Southeast Asia, next to Singapore, to implement a digital service tax. But on a global scale, it joins a significant list of other countries that have already imposed similar systems on imported online services. Bangladesh and South Korea, for instance, require sellers to register for an account with the system. Then there's Taiwan and Japan that need sellers to register and hire a local tax agent to be able to file taxes in accordance to local rules and regulations. The EU is a little more complicated with these things. Their form of digital tax is called the VAT or VAT, and the fee is actually paid by the consumer when they purchase a product or a service. Japan also works in the same way, as in the digital tax is pushed to the consumers. So if you sell a product worth 1,000 yen in Japan, let's say, the customer will actually have to pay 1,080 yen, for instance, and that 80 yen is meant to be filed through the tax agent. It really depends on the seller if they're willing to absorb the tax or not. Here's Keegan Ong, PricewaterhouseCoopers Tax Executive Director, on how other countries have approached the issue of digital service tax implementation.
Number three.
Different countries have adopted different approaches in taxing the digital economy, which can be categorized into three broad categories. First would be direct taxes, in the form of income tax on profit or tax on revenue level, as well as withholding tax. The second category will be indirect tax, which is in the form of GST or VAT, or in the Malaysian context, it will be a sales and services tax.
Mm-hmm.
The last category will be levies, equalization levies that are adopted by countries like India and Italy. So I think among these three categories, the indirect tax method is the most widely adopted method. For example, countries like Singapore and Thailand, they have also proposed to adopt a similar concept. If we go further, we have countries like Australia, Japan, Taiwan, Korea also adopted a similar approach. In the category of direct tax, I think what I would like to share is UK has recently actually introduced, they're going to introduce a digital tax, whereby tech company that meet the conditions under the rules will be subject to digital tax at 2% on the revenue, notwithstanding the company is making profits or not. And on the other hand, like I mentioned earlier, India, they also adopted a very targeted approach, which is actually taxing the digital advertising businesses by imposing a 6% levy on the payment. So what you could see is, I think the approach adopted globally is very targeted. Their target is mainly those big tech company and targeted on a very specific industry or business activities that they want to look at. For example, like digital advertising, e-commerce platform, and etc.
Number four.
Let's talk about challenges for a second. Now, while the digital service tax should be beneficial in the long run, there are a few challenges that the government will need to figure out before the system can be properly implemented. Like I said earlier, this is new ground not just for us, but for everyone. Every country seems to be imposing these taxes in different ways based on their own laws and regulations, which in itself poses a major problem concerning consistency. Then there's the issue of how these taxes are collected, basically figuring out how to collect and file these fees. Each seller also has their own requirements when it comes to tax. Amazon's marketplace, for example, will calculate the tax for you, whereas platforms like Etsy allow sellers to calculate and file taxes themselves in accordance to the customer. Most major online platforms aren't a single entity either. They are more like one-stop shops that act as a middleman between the merchants and the customers. So, how will they go about taxing these merchants accordingly? It's a complex, complicated mechanism that'll need some serious fine-tuning as more and more countries realize that businesses cannot operate within their borders scot-free.
One of the characteristics of digital economy is it is borderless, i.e. businesses can be conducted via internet without the vendors or suppliers to be physically in that location to provide the services. And this is where the challenge is in the tax world. So the basic principle in terms of taxation is that there are two tests that you need to be fulfilled. For example, if a foreign company provides services to a Malaysian company, the two tests that need to be fulfilled in order for Malaysian tax authority to tax the income, it really depends on the source as well as whether the foreign vendor has a physical presence in Malaysia. So when a Malaysian company makes payment to foreign companies, so I think the test on the source will be fulfilled because the revenue comes from Malaysia. But then the next test that we need to test on is actually the physical presence. So in the tax world, we call it permanent establishment. So in the treaty between Malaysia and the various countries, there is a definition on it. And generally, foreign companies will create a permanent establishment or physical presence in Malaysia by way of having a fixed place in Malaysia, such as an office, a place of management, or by having a dependent agent in undertaking business operations on behalf of the foreign companies in Malaysia. So in that sense, when you have the physical presence in Malaysia and the source of income is actually from Malaysia, that will allow the Malaysian government or tax authorities to tax the foreign companies. But in a digital environment, most of the time we see that there's no physical presence, because the foreign companies can actually undertake their business operation without a physical presence in Malaysia. If I could give you two examples, I think in the world of digital advertising or transportation, in the past, in order for foreign companies to undertake such activities in Malaysia, they will need to come to Malaysia to sell their business, to employ local employees, to put in capital before they can actually start doing their business. But in digital environment, that's not the case, whereby they can actually reside in their home country and provide advertising or transportation service to the Malaysian consumer via digital platform. So that is where the challenge is. Where there's no physical presence, the Malaysian government or tax authority will not be able to tax the foreign companies. And I think this is also a global challenge, whereby all the countries around the world are actually in discussions to relook at the definitions of permanent establishment or physical presence in the treaty. I think some of the suggestions is to include virtual presence in the definitions, so that by having a virtual presence in Malaysia or in other countries, that would give the rights to tax to the source country. And I think at the same time, there are some short-term or medium-term measures that are being introduced. So the discussions should be concluded by 2020. So let's watch out this space for further development.
Number 5.
Right, so you've taken all of that information in, and there's quite a lot to digest, and you can bet that there'll be more to talk about as more details surface closer to the implementation date. In the meantime, here's Keegan Ong again with some key takeaways regarding Malaysia's new digital tax due to go into full effect on January 1st, 2020.
I think there are two key takeaways from a perspective of cost and compliance. I think for Malaysian companies, it is important that for them to ascertain what will be the cost implications when they actually acquire services or digital services from foreign companies. I think as far as possible, they should try to negotiate with foreign companies in passing back the withholding tax cost to them. Secondly, it's also to account or take into consideration what will be the service tax impact that just being proposed during the last budget. Secondly, on the compliance perspective, I think as a Malaysian company, with the digital technology available today, they are able to do business beyond Malaysia. And I think around the world, a lot of countries have been looking at how to tax the digital economy. So it is important that the Malaysian company take a look in terms of what are the requirements in those countries to ensure that they comply with whatever conditions that are being imposed in those countries, to ensure that they are in compliance, because any incompliance would involve costs.
That is all the time we have for this episode on the digital service tax. If you miss any parts of the show, you know you can always stream it again via the BFM app, which is, of course, available on the Apple App Store and on Google Play for free. We are also on Spotify, so if you're a regular user on that platform, you can look us up there as well. Big thank yous to PricewaterhouseCoopers Tax Executive Director Keegan Ong for lending us his expertise on today's complex subject. This has been Arvind Yuvraj on 5 of Fortune, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.